All right, well, good morning. Let me pull this back up, sorry. So I'm hoping the slides will go. There we go. All right, so I'd like to, introduce myself. Matthew McCullough, originally from Kingsford, Ontario, just north of Deserano. Grew up in a dairy farm. Went to Tainanga Public School, then went on to Napanee District Secondary School, and then got to a point of saying, okay, God, what is real, what is not? And I did my first discipleship training school in YWAM, Perth, Australia, Youth with a Mission, over to Perth, Australia, and did that. Telling God that I was going to do 6 months, I arrived in Cambodia on January 20th, 2002, so 17 years ago, almost 18 years ago, telling God that I would give him the next 3 months in Cambodia and then go home to the dairy farm, and felt God say very clearly, this is where you'll be for the rest of your life. Me saying no, coming home or coming back to Canada in March, I did actually work at the Weed Man, the lawn care company, and thought that I was just going to remain here in Canada. A wife and 4 kids later, we are still serving full-time in Cambodia. So introduce, my wife is Cambodian, met her on her first trip. Very much a woman that loves her people and wants her people to know Jesus Christ and wants her people to receive the hope and freedom that she's received. And then our kids, Miriam is 14 going on 15, just started grade 9 2 weeks ago. So school started 2 weeks ago in Cambodia. So I was here for 10 weeks for a home assignment and then found out my brother was getting married and I was his best man. So took my kids back to school in Cambodia and flew back here about a week ago yesterday. And then I fly out on Tuesday back home. So Miriam is our oldest. Rachel is our second. She is 12. She's 12. She'll be. She just turned 12 in June, and she's in grade 7. Rebecca is 8, going on 9 in September. She is one of the ones of our children that have struggled the most with transition. The reason that I've heard about your church is through Donald and Victoria Armstrong. Victoria and Donald, their daughter Hannah, my youngest daughter would tell you is her best friend. And so she struggles going back in Cambodia, leaving Hannah behind. But she's in grade 3. And then Jonathan is our next. And we've done an official introduction in other churches because we had 3 kids for the longest time, and we officially adopted Jonathan at Christmas. We'll have him 2 years. And so just a little background on Jonathan, and you'll see the heart of my wife. Jonathan was left in the hospital. He was taken to a center, and we met him at 2 months. We brought him in our home at 3 months. And then when we started looking at the adoption, we talked about, okay, well, we need to meet with the biological mother so that she would meet with the judge and the court. And so Jonathan's biological mother was 19 years old. Jonathan was her 4th child. She had sold her first 2 children. Her 3rd child got sick and she couldn't sell him. And then Jonathan, she left him at the hospital. And it was one of the things when we went through the court case, the judge looked at me, looked at Jonathan, looked at me, looked at Jonathan. Are you sure you're not the biological father? Nope. He is. He does have a white descent father of some sort, but she worked in a brothel and in a difficult place in Cambodia, and that's who we minister to in Cambodia. So within minutes of my wife meeting her, she felt nothing but love, acceptance, and that she had made a good decision to be willing to give her child up for adoption, that he was going to have a good life. But that's my wife. She works full-time with girls that are coming out of brothels, coming out of dark places, and I work full-time with men that are coming out of brothels and struggling. And so we'll share some testimonies and different things, but that is my family. So we're serving with an organization called Crossworld. It used to be UFM, Unevangelized Field Mission. Now it's Crossworld. And it's one of those things that we have been with them only for since 2013, but we were with Pioneers before that until they pulled out of Cambodia. And then we're like, okay, what's next? And so God opened the door to Crossworld, and it's very much a discipleship-focused ministry, focusing on no matter what you do in life, If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you're called to be a disciple. And so how do you do that? No matter what you do, if you're a teacher, if you're a janitor, if you work at Tim Hortons, it's not just the pastor's and elder's job to share the gospel, it is every Christian's job. And so we want to do that in a living way. And so living life on life with the people that come across our paths, living using the word of God as a foundation in all that we do. And for us, our least reached marketplace is Cambodia, is working with survivors and victims of human trafficking and individuals that are struggling. We've done this with human trafficking for my wife 5 years, myself 3 years. 35% of human traffickers are under the age of 16. And so when my kids are all under the age of 16, this has become real for me. I'm very protective of my girls in Cambodia. The youngest child that has come out of the center was 3 years old, who was sold by their parents. We worked with there's boys and girls that because of poverty, because of not having education, think that they can sell their kids, make money, and then when they get older, they'll just live out of it, or they'll come out of it, and it won't affect them. And so we worked with an organization called Hard Places Cambodia, which mainly focuses on boys. And so they have a boys center that boys between the ages of 3 years old was their youngest, but normally between the ages of 6 to 16 or 15, they're the ones that there's 350 of them that their parents are selling them every single night to pedophiles because they feel like they have no other ways of making support. And so they're selling their kids, but we have this center that they can come, they can be a kid. I've walked into the center and the kids are just sleeping on the floor because they're allowed to finally be at rest. And so that's what we've done. But at the same time, they have a young adult center, which I served at. And these are guys between the ages of 17, I think our oldest was 36, and they thought because they don't have education, they don't have the means to support their family, the only way that they can support their family is to sell their bodies. And so they are in brothels and they're selling themselves. And so we come along and give hope and give what Christ wants them to be. And so we're going to share a little more about what that is, but unfortunately, due to the poverty and due to the lack of education, it is very difficult of what's happening in Cambodia. So our kids go to an international school that they get an education the same as they would get here in Canada, but that is not the reality of most Cambodians. And so there's four areas of if somebody wants to reach out in human trafficking. Prevention is number one. Prevention of coming alongside the mothers, coming alongside the fathers, coming alongside the young adults. Allowing them to know there's something else, giving them a skill, giving them a trade, just teaching them that there's something else they can do. They don't have to do what they're doing. The rescue, just how it says, there are great organizations in Cambodia like Agape International, International Justice Mission, Ratana International, Hard Places. They go into the brothel, rescue the individuals, and get them into a safe home. And so once they're in a safe home, then the restoration starts. And that's where you come alongside with counseling, you come alongside with the Word of God, you come alongside and just to allow them to talk and allow them to share and allow them to open up. And then there's the reintegration. How do you get them from the safe house after a couple years of being able to be restored back into society? And so that's where I have stayed or have been for the last 2 years as we have developed a restaurant that has hired guys. We have 13 guys that we have hired, and they are running this restaurant now that I am been able to step down. And so a little background on Cambodia, though. In the 9th century, if you were to Google Cambodia, this is the map you would see. You would not see Thailand. You'd see a little bit of Vietnam, but the main part of it is Cambodia. So as we're restoring the guys, we want to restore the flavors of Cambodia, because if we ask most North Americans, what is your favorite South Asian food, they would probably say Thai or Vietnamese. Well, technically, there's no such thing because of Cambodia. And so we want to restore the traditional flavors of Cambodia as we're restoring the guys. So instead of the 9th century, the restaurant's called Century 9, Inspired Eatery. And so it is a place to allow these guys to experience creativity, experience the job skills of learning how to make drinks and learning how to serve and learning how to, you know, have value in who they are, not where they've come from, not what's happened to them, but allow who they are. And so this is where I've been. So I have a video that I'm going to show in a minute. And it's just the guys sharing their testimony. It is a thank you to an organization in Australia that donated the first $50,000 to get the ministry going. But at the same time, you're going to hear the hearts of the guys that we minister to and why we do this. So I had the privilege of coming alongside and teaching how to make latte art. I had ran a drop-in center 4 years before that for university students where we discipled and shared the gospel and hired Cambodians that nobody else would look at because they had no experience or they didn't have education. One of our missionaries who learned how to read and write Khmer actually taught our cook, who was illiterate, how to read and write Khmer. So a foreigner was teaching because in their eyes, well, she's a girl, she means nothing, so don't even go get education. But we were able to give her this job that she was a fantastic cook, but she also was able to learn and read and write her own language from one of the other missionaries. So let me share the video and then we'll come back to this.
I work with Hard Places Community. I am co-director at Punlock to My Men. Punlock to My Men is our outreach program to young men that work with men in male massage brothels. So we offer English courses, we offer job skills training, we offer mentoring with these guys. We want to have a place where they are able to land. And so we have just opened up a restaurant that's called Century 9.
So my name is Michael Kenyon.
That's all right. It normally doesn't stick, so I'm hoping it works. You get to hear it, but it's good to see it too. Maybe, how do you shut these ones off?
My name is Nathan Haas. I work with Hard Places Community. I am co-director at
Sorry. Hopefully the video will work, but if not, at least listen to it. You'll hear the guy's hearts.
My name is Nathan Haas. I work with Hard Places Community. I am co-director at Punlock to My Men. Punlock to My Men is our outreach program to young men that work with men in male massage brothels. So we offer English courses, we offer job skills training, we offer mentoring with these guys. We want to have a place where they are able to land. And so we have just opened up a restaurant that's called Century 9.
So my name is Michael Kenyon. I'm a chef here in Phnom Penh, Cambodia at Century 9, Aspired Eatery. I've trained as a chef, traveled around America, cooking and opening restaurants. After some tough things happened in life, lost a lot of things, I felt called to come here to Cambodia and learn with guys and teach guys and use my talents to help equip them to overcome similar difficulties as I've had.
My name is Ratha. I'm in front of the house, a manager at Century 9 Phnom Penh. So Century 9 is, we can call a freedom business. Try to helping the guy is out of the sex trafficking and offer them a job and give them a chance to work with us and training them a new skill like a barista, a chef.
Hello, my name is Sophia. I'm a chef in Century 9. When I work in 2010, I just worked 1 year at the Dark Place. I feel like it's not comfortable, but I need money for support my family. And it's not feeling good. When I work at APC, I feel like home. And I can see in the future, and maybe my life better and better. I so much change in my life. Yeah, when I working and I cooking, I feel like I serve the customer or the people when they eat my food. How can my food taste of like, you know? I feel excited to do that.
The vision is to create a sustainable business, but to also give back and to have a place where everybody is welcome and have a place where guys can come and learn, and you don't have to have all the experience in the world, but you can learn and grow and see guys chase after their dreams.
I have experience to work in another places around Cambodia, and this place is the first place that I feel like so much different, and I got love and encouragement around people that I work with. I like it and enjoy it working at Century 9.
Without Ping Pong-a-thon, we wouldn't have been able to take this old dilapidated building, rebuild it, and turn it into a restaurant that these guys can be proud of. And so their dream is no longer a dream, it's a reality. This week, they stepped into the reality of their future. They're businessmen. Your giving, your generous giving, has allowed us to make dreams become reality.
This restaurant, you know, Century 9 was a dream, like I said. It was a dream of mine, the dream of the guys that we work with for years. And really, without Ping Pong-a-thon, it wouldn't have been possible.
Each one of you that have played ping pong, each one of you that have donated, each one of you that have talked about Ping Pong-a-thon or an organization that Ping Pong-a-thon supports, you have left your mark, and we are so grateful. Because from you stepping up and saying yes to just this deep thing that you felt inside of you, and just saying yes and seeing what happens from that, you have left your mark all the way in Cambodia, and you have touched the lives of these men, and you have made the work that we do possible, because you said yes.
Well, I apologize if the video itself did not work. I have it on my laptop if you want to see it afterwards. The food, the photos of food, the photos of the guy serving is amazing. So if you're able to see that after, great. I have this picture up here because I went into the ministry thinking, you know, I'm the foreigner, I'm the missionary, I'm going to pour into these people. But at the year mark, when I was able to step down because they literally took over and they were able to run the restaurant without me, they prayed over me. They blessed me. They are now doing it on their own and being self-sustaining. They're about to open. I went back for the 3 days to drop my kids off at school. And they started sharing me the dreams that they're already in place of renovating a new place so they will have a second location. And so that just means hiring more guys and giving more guys the opportunity to be a part of something. So my wife, as a Cambodian, knows the language, didn't have to go through the 35 hours of three years of learning the language like I did, but it just comes with, she walks into the room and the girls know that they are loved and they're accepted. And so first and foremost, she is a mother and she loves that. She loves coming alongside the kids and teaching them. But at the same time, she loves to be able to continue to come alongside the ladies. And so there are two reintegration ministries that for ladies that she comes alongside, and one makes cakes and one's a cafe. And she goes in and she teaches the word of God there. She allows them to share, allows them to be accountable, to pray for each other, and then teaches one more step or one more tool in their belt to know, listen, God's got a plan for your life and God loves you so much. No matter what you've been through, it doesn't matter that she walks alongside with that. One of the things that we were able to do, both of us, is to finish our counseling training. And so as we were in Cambodia, counseling is not an accepted thing because you only go to counseling if you're screwed up. It's not something you want people to know that you're going to counseling. And so wanting them to understand pastoral care counseling and to come alongside. And so as Nari finished her counseling, the ministry came alongside her and said, hey, would you be willing to take on clients? And so she now has 6 clients and she's meeting with on a weekly basis. They have 10 sessions and then they reevaluate, and the girls, 3 of them have already came back and said, can you continue with us? And so just to be able to watch my wife be using the talents that God's given her, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through her and these girls to receive this hope that they thought was never possible. One of the girls got married and immediately asked my wife to come and walk through everything with her as she was getting married. And then once the marriage happened, she was the first one on the phone, I'm pregnant. And my wife's like, have you told your husband yet? So just the relationship that she's had with these girls has been amazing. And so I want to share testimonies. These are testimonies from, we run sport groups, small groups. And these are testimonies from a couple guys that have experienced what Jesus Christ can do. This is my testimony. My name is Nit. I'm not afraid to tell anyone my name in this short testimony because I would like people to pray for me and walk alongside of me. Jesus Christ has set me free from the shame I used to feel, but I put it on the cross. He took my shame because he loves me. I believe that now. Today, I am not completely changed from the sins I sinned, but I am on the process. Thank God that he is still loving me. He put truth in my mind. He's brought brothers who love me and walk alongside of me. Brother Matthew is one of those brothers, reminding me how I should live for Jesus, encouraging me not to sin, but he's with me. He is my big brother. I really appreciate that. I hope you will all remember me and pray for me. By God's grace, Nit. Here's another one. Sometime in February of 2019, I heard about Matthew doing some work at Century 9. I know that guy. I contacted him to meet up at a cafe to talk because God kept pestering me about my struggles of unwanted sexual desires, and I needed to meet up with this guy who was helping other brothers. But God, I can't go there. It has been so many years, and you know the last time I talked about this, what happened? A whole lot of people found out, and rumors were everywhere. Yep, God says, I know what happened, but it's time, and I am with you in this. But God, the last time almost killed me emotionally, and I felt like the walking dead. How is it going to be any different from 40 years ago? I said to God, trust me in this, he replies. I gulp, begin to panic, as I sat down with Matthew at the cafe. Am I crazy or what? Am I thinking to myself? And yet God is nudging me to say something to Matthew. Okay, God, I get it, but I'm just saying, if things go bad, this is the last time I am ever going to do this, no matter how much you shout at me. So I spilled out the words of things long needing to be spoken, but I was in dread of saying them, lest I be betrayed again. I tell my story, just waiting for Matthew to reject me, telling me I'm no good or give me some disgusting look. To my surprise, Matthew acts like everything's okay. Okay, is this some kind of act, or is he for real? I'm asking myself. Thinking Matthew is for real, I sense hope, long dead, begin to spring back into my heart. I don't want it, fearing this is all a dream, yet I find myself still hoping. Thus begins what needed to happen so many years ago of walking in hope that things can be different. I don't need to walk in shame and hopelessness. Frankly, it was God using Matthew in my life to begin a much-needed journey out of something that no one wanted to talk about at the churches, namely unwanted sexual struggles that Christian men face in their churches. To know there is hope and healing, and that especially there are some men who will not despise me or through their body language tell me I'm gross and disgusting. So simply following that nudge that God gave, I had this so crucial meeting with Matthew. If I had not gone to meet him, or if he was not even here in Cambodia, I would still be stuck. Thank God for his love and mercy for sending Matthew into my life and nudging me to see him. These are common testimonies. The difference between a male and a female coming out of human trafficking. Females, males, both are hurt. Both things should have never happened to them. Both things should have never been experienced. But the things that happens with a male, that once they've been raped or abused, they have that extra struggle then of sexual temptations they don't want. They don't want to have same-sex attractions. They just want to be loved and accepted by brothers again, wanting to be whole, wanting to forget what happened in the past, but be able to move on. And so these guys are coming out. One of our guys came into the restaurant. He's like, I was in a church on Sunday, and the pastor got up and said that anyone struggling with same-sex attraction is going to hell. And he came in tears. I'm like, that is not true. I see God working in your life. I know you're a disciple of Christ. I know that you've repented, and I know that you want to live a life of a biblical marriage or celibacy. And so this is the scripture that we use with our guys. Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong. You do this to your brothers and sisters, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor the adulterers, nor the adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor gossips, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. This is the beauty of the gospel. Galatians says the same thing. A list of sins, all in the same level in God's eyes. Unfortunately, in the North American church and probably other churches around the world, they have said, well, this sin is worse than this sin. And so I come alongside these guys, and Nari comes alongside the girls, allowing them to know that my judging is just as bad as their sexual sin. My hatred, my gossip, my slandering, anything that is listed, anything that is against the will of Christ and anything that is against the character of God is a sin. And all people have fallen short of the glory of God. So speaking life, allowing them to know that there is another way, allowing them to know that God has fearfully and wonderfully made them and there is a plan and a purpose for their lives. You know, I think even the one testimony, the one came from a foreigner. Grew up in America, adolescence hit, started struggling with same-sex attraction, went to the church, said, can you please help me? I don't want this. And the church cast him out. And so he said, forget it. And so for 10 years, he led a gay lifestyle. He's like, what do? I have no choice. And then 9/11 came, and the Twin Towers came down, and he felt that God specifically said to him, if you keep living this lifestyle, you will go to hell. But if you turn back to me, I will give you a wife and I'll give you a son. And at the time, he was like, are you sure about this? He's now been married 2 years and they're working on their child. He is ministering up north in Siem Reap, which is 5 hours north of where I am, to ladyboys, brothels, guys that are struggling. But that's his heart and passion now because he wants them to experience the same love, grace, forgiveness, restoration God's brought into his heart. He's wanting the guys to experience it as well. This has been the hard part of listening to the stories and the testimonies from our guys. The desperate love of wanting love, wanting affirmation, wanting to just be a brother, wanting to be able to come inside the church. So the church that we go to in Cambodia is about 350 that go to the church. Out of 15 of them, I'm one of the oldest. So it is a big youth service every Sunday. It's one of those things that when the Khmer Rouge happened and millions of people were killed, 70% of the population of Cambodia right now is under the age of 40. And so a lot of our churches feel like huge youth services. But the pastor is starting to have a conversation saying, okay, how can we be that church? How can we be that church that welcomes anybody? It doesn't matter what they go through. Walk them in, allow the Holy Spirit to change. You know, because we've had the conversations that it doesn't matter if it's the boy or girl in a youth group having sex or the male or female that are not married but living together. In God's eyes, it's all sin. So how do we share the message without judgment, without shame, allowing these people to come to know Jesus Christ in a real way and then using their story, using their testimony to help others? I've never been a drug addict, never been an alcoholic. I don't know, other than it's an addiction, how to reach those. But somebody that has come out of drugs, somebody that has come out of being an alcoholic, they can reach the person that's struggling. And so being able to come alongside, how are we doing that? We're doing it through small groups. We're doing it through the program Celebrate Recovery, which is the 12-step Christian program. I started it 3 years ago at Robin Wesleyan Church, and still going today. We started with 10 people. Monday nights, there's up to 55 people now that have shown up on a Monday night at Roblin. But it's using the Beatitudes. How can Jesus Christ bring recovery, bring restoration into people's lives of anything, any hurt, habit, or hang up? It's not about the big struggles out there like drugs or sex or alcohol, but it's like we all have issues. We all need Jesus Christ. We need our brothers and sisters. So that's our desire, that's our passion when we come to Cambodia, is to watch our brothers and sisters come into that relationship. And so we use these scriptures. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So if I were to ask the question, you can put your hand up or not, it doesn't matter, but if I ask the question, how many in this room today feel righteous? Okay, so here's the thing. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, every single one of you should have put your hands up. Because when God looks down, God sees the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see me. I don't feel righteous all the time, but I am. So any single one of you that have accepted Jesus Christ, please pray for me. Because your prayers are powerful and effective. You know, we don't always feel something, but it doesn't matter what we feel. What does the Word of God say? And the Word of God says, because Jesus Christ died for us and the blood is poured over anyone that is accepted, confessed with their mouth, believes in their heart, they are saved. Come as you are. You may have come in here today with struggles, with sins, with temptations, with a thorn in your flesh, and you may be scared to say it out loud. Jesus already knows. That's what we tell our guys in Cambodia. Jesus already knows. It doesn't matter what you say to me. It's not going to make me love you less, because if you've accepted Jesus Christ, there is freedom. So having our guys in the small group pray for each other, confess to each other, lay hands on each other, because they may think they're not righteous because of what happened to them, but that's not who they are because they've accepted Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7-9, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We've all fallen. We've all done things. We all need Jesus Christ. I think I talked to the Cambodian church, and one of their biggest sins is gossip. Oh, no. We're just saying, please pray for Johnny, because Johnny's done this. No, please pray for Johnny. He's going through a hard time, period. We don't need the details. The details are the gossip. You know, the judging, oh, that person just walked in all goth or whatever I don't know what happens here in Canada nowadays, sorry. So whatever, somebody looking different than us, we immediately judge. This past week, I spent the week at family camp at Robin Holiness Camp. And Thursday's teen night. And there were teens that came onto the grounds, and they were wearing stuff that my daughters would not allow to be outside wearing. But I had to catch myself, because I'm like, they're probably wearing it because they need affirmation, they need love, they need acceptance. There's probably something going on underneath. What is the root to the issue? What does Jesus Christ need to do in our root hurts? You know, sometimes our outside action, that's just the fruit. But what's the root of Jesus Christ? And that's what we want to do in Cambodia. We want to get to the root. What is the healing that really needs to happen so that you become on fire for Christ and that he knows you and he experiences you? This is a young man that is in one of our support groups. He is receiving his diploma for 4 years of biblical studies, so to become a pastor. But here's the rest of the story. Two guys, friends, started Bible college together. Both of them had been raped, abused. Both of them had been struggling with same-sex attraction. 2 years into Bible college, the one fell and went and had sex with another guy. realized he was wrong, repented, asked for help, asked for prayer. What happened? He was kicked out of Bible college. The other guy, the same thing happened. Saw what happened to his friends, kept his mouth shut. I'm not saying anything. They kicked him out. I'm not going to say anything. He just graduated 4 years, got his diploma. Both of them love Jesus Christ. Both of them are disciples of Jesus Christ. But they slipped up. But there was no grace. Now, I guarantee there were probably boyfriend and girlfriends within that Bible college that had messed up as well. But they remained in the school. The other guy that's not pictured here, we hired him at Century 9. He has become our pastor. He knows the word. He loves Jesus. He wants other people to have that same hope that he's found. And he has become an amazing pastor to our guys at the restaurant. It's not what he thought he was going to be doing, but God is using him because of his past hurts. God's now using him today. And this guy will be an amazing pastor as well because he understands forgiveness. He understands grace. He understands what Jesus Christ is doing in his life. And so we want to come alongside these guys and say, I don't care. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've come from. If you are willing to surrender, if you're willing to do what God's called you to do, your life can change. And so we're watching these guys say, I want to live either a biblical marriage if God gives me a woman. Right now I'm not attracted to them, but I will trust that if God gives me one, I'll marry her, or I'm going to live a celibate life for Jesus Christ. And so it's been amazing to be their brother and to walk alongside. So as my wife and I are doing the ministry, our children are going to Logos International School. And this is a Christian international school that allows our kids to have the same education as kids here in Canada. Prayer is needed for two things. One, they need teachers. They're constantly needing teachers that love Jesus. And so if any one of you or know of somebody that is a teacher and would like to go to Cambodia, there is options. I don't know if you know the youth center in Frankfurt, but the director of the youth center in Frankfurt just left in August, and he is now one of my kids' teachers in Cambodia. And so it's kind of cool to have somebody from the area that is in Cambodia with us now. Just prayer, because they themselves are struggling with identity. Are we Canadian? Are we Cambodian? Trying to get them to focus, well, you're Christian. So let's live a Christian culture, not a Canadian culture, not a Cambodian culture, but how do we raise our children up when they're going back and forth and missing friends here and missing family and everything? How do we be parents? So prayers for my wife and I, our heart is for the Cambodian people, but it's also for our children. And that's our number one ministry. And so being able to come alongside them. At the same time, we came home this year because their school is not cheap. And so we have to pay to have them go to the international school. And so that's what we are trusting for now, is the monthly support to be able to have the kids continue to go to school. We're moving forward in our own ministry. We've been there 17 years, rented for 17 years, and God has opened a door to allow us to purchase. And so we will be purchasing a home. It's actually being built right now. I think the next photo shows you the house being built. And it's one of those things, there is a guest room being built on it. And I say that because we are always very happy when Canadians come over and experience Cambodia, experience ministry. I really believe that every single person in North America should go to some third world country at least once in their life. And not the resort parts, but the parts to experience, okay, what is God doing around the world? And so if you as a church, I know we're trying to get Roblin people to go. Actually, in 2 weeks, we have two people from Roblin Wesleyan that are going to be coming over to help us start Celebrate Recovery. But if there's ever an opportunity, you think about, hey, we should go to Cambodia. Do we know anybody? Please look us up, and we would love to show you what is happening in Cambodia, what God is doing. It's not about us. We don't want people to look at us and go, oh, Matt and Ari are doing this. No, what is God doing? It's one of those things. I arrived back in Cambodia, turned my phone on, put credit on my phone, my Cambodian number, and within an hour got a phone call from another guy. He's like, I hear you're running support groups. Can I join? So another Cambodian brother, I'm meeting him on the 23rd when I fly back to see where he's at. And if he agrees to have a biblical marriage or celibacy, he is welcome to come into the support groups. But we want to make it very clear that we want to live biblical and God-fearing lives together, because together as brothers, together as sisters, that's how we grow. Nobody is called to be Jesus and I. You know, it's not about the, what is it, the me-centric, but the theocentric. What are we doing together as brothers and sisters in Christ? And so for us, prayer is the number one thing that we need. As I mentioned, three girls, one boy, all under the age, all at the age of what's happening in Cambodia. I can't protect my children. There's days that I would like to think I do when I'm with them, but I don't. It's God that protects them. And so prayer that I would always trust God, and that he would have my children, and he would have my wife, and he would have the guys and girls we minister to in his hands, according to his will and his purposes. The monthly support we need is actually less than this. That's where we were at 2 weeks ago. We're actually down to $870 a month we need. And so we're trusting that God will provide that. We do have in the back table prayer cards. Please pick up a prayer card and pray for us. A family photo card. We have financial slips back there to sign up if you'd like, as well as we send out newsletters. So to sign up, email, and then we send you updates and prayer points and different things. It's one of the things, our hope, as we are in Canada, is to not just share about Cambodia, but to help you as our brothers and sisters in Christ here in Canada. What is God calling you to do? In Sterling, in Belleville, in Trenton, maybe overseas, how can God use your hands and your feet? Who in your neighborhood is this guy here looking to be loved, to be accepted? Who is out there that just wants to be affirmed? I don't even accept the sins of my own life. I know I have them. I'm aware of them. I repent. So it's not that I'm judging anybody. But I would hope that my brothers and sisters would see something in my life that's not right and love me enough to say, hey, Matt, your attitude there is not so good. Thank you. Let me get it right. So how can you be a blessing and a challenge to each other? The Word of God is there, every part of it, to encourage, to teach, but also to rebuke and to correct. We can't just pick one or two sections of the Bible and say, oh, I like this. Yeah, God, no, not this part. You know, that's why we want to teach the Word of God, because we want the Cambodians to know every single part of it. How can we encourage each other? I love that you guys have a memory verse. You know, how can you as a church be that community that people are like, I want to come into this community? You know, I admit, this is the first time today of coming into this church. I've heard it on UCB Canada for years. But I've never been up this way, so I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. But my prayer, and I'll pray in a minute, but my prayer, my hope for you, is that you will be the hands and feet of God in all aspects of life. If there are people hurting and surly, they know there's one place they can go to, and they will get affirmation. They will get maybe challenged, but in a loving way. But it will be full of grace and love. You know, the Word of God is there for all people. It's changed my life. I was on a destruction path before. Coming from a dairy farm and growing up and going to Napanee High School, there was no plans. I did not appreciate church growing up. Quick story. We're almost done. Quick story. 10 years old, I was going to a church in Deserano. And one of the older ladies in the church came up and stuck a Bible in my face. Said, here, become a minister. In my 10-year-old voice, told her to stick it in the most nicest way possible. I hated church. I hated Sunday school. I went there because I was forced. But I realized in 2001, in November, when I was training with Youth with a Mission, I was using the exact same Bible that she had gave me when I was 10 years old, 13 years later. So I got Mom to call home, because I was in Australia, and I said, Mom, can you go into Lenaco, the nursing home, and tell Maud that I'm using the Bible that she gave me? So Mom went in. At this point, Maud is in a wheelchair, blind, not able to see, but her mind is all there. Ma, do you remember what you gave Matthew? Yeah, gave him a Bible and told him to become a minister. Why? He's now using that Bible on the mission field. That was in November 2001. I got the call January 2nd, 2002, that Maude had passed away. And I had just came out of a week of learning how to hear God's voice. And I'm like, God, why now? Why now that you've changed me? Why now that I'm no longer what I was? Why now did you take Maude away? Because she's not going to see any of the change. And felt God say pretty clearly, because Maude had a mission. And her mission was to get you into ministry. She is now home with me. Now, you need to understand, Maude was 106 years old when she passed away. So prayers of the faithful, prayers of the saints, don't give up. If you're praying for your grandkids, don't give up. It took me a while to accept what God wanted. But I know that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do now. And I know that it's because of Maude continuing to pray. So if you got people you're praying for, don't stop. Let me pray for you now. Father God, I thank you for your love, your grace. I thank you that you are not done with any of us. Lord, if we are breathing today, which we are, you have a plan and a purpose. So we pray that we would surrender to it. Lord, that you would bring your truth through the word of God, through brothers and sisters. Lord, that we would sit up. We would pay attention and we would desire to be more like you. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be your hands and feet in Cambodia. But Lord, I pray for this congregation, these brothers and sisters, Lord, may they be the hands and feet here in Sterling and surrounding areas. Lord, may people know that there is grace and there is love, and it's not about church. It's about you and your relationship with you. Allow people to come to you, to experience you, to know you, to be set free. Lord, may your word become live. It is the living word, but may it become live in the lives of your congregation. And not out of judging and not out of gossip and not out of anything, Lord, but love and grace to bring people in so that they experience what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ that makes disciples. We are not called to just sit here and be me and Jesus, but to be a disciple is to make disciples. So Lord, go before us. Send people out two by two. Lord, be glorified in this area. Be glorified in Cambodia. We pray that you are lifted up and glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.